All right, we're back in Isaiah chapter 23. A very powerful and scary message coming from this passage that we will all need to hear, pay attention to what God has to say. Tyre and Sidon are the ones he's going to be talking to here. They were two of the key cities of the people who were known as the Phoenicians. These people were known for their navy and for their prosperous trade business along the Mediterranean coast. There was an abundant supply of the world's wealth that passed through the seaports there in the city of Tyre. It was an extremely wealthy city. There was a lot of people who became wealthy from the trade business that came through there. But despite all their wealth and their prosperity, the Lord was going to declare his judgment against them because of their great sin that they were committing. And he's going to name that sin in our passage. So in Isaiah 23, verse 1, the burden against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. So this message is to the ships that were heading toward Tyre to sell their goods as they normally would. They were docked in Cyprus. You see that mentioned here. And it says, you know, when they're given the news that Tyre's been destroyed and it's been laid waste, you know, that's really going to hit them. And this was being prophesied before it happened, okay? But Isaiah says that they should wail, meaning that they should weep with sadness. That's because of their loss of profit that they were hoping to make when they got there. Wondered how many people do you think weep over the loss of their finances? Now, Tyre here, the once great and prosperous city who had great wealth that passed through it, their shipping industry was going to be gone. Their economy was going to be devastated. You know, people try to find security in their wealth or in their finances, but those are very unstable things. Proverbs 23:5 says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So we need to find our security in the Lord. He never changes, and he always keeps his word. When you put your life in the hands of the Lord and you keep trusting him, you continue to do that, you will be set not only for this life, but for all of eternity. Verse 2 goes on here, be still, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled. So this message is to the next great city that is part of this Phoenician empire, and it was Sidon. You hear of Tyre and Sidon quite a bit together in the scriptures there. So it was another city along the Mediterranean coast there, and the city of Sidon was given the bad news that Tyre had been destroyed. There would be tremendous wealth that they would be losing too. But the Lord's word to them is to be still. And that means they need to stop their journey. There was no sense in coming any closer to bring their goods because there was no harbor any longer, and there were no people there to receive their goods. Now, can you imagine that if you were a salesman and you were on your way to this high business location where you were guaranteed to make a huge profit, but while you're on your way, you're told that you might as well turn back and go home because your pot of gold has just been destroyed? And the thought, you know, comes to mind as you think about this of gaining the whole world but losing your soul. You know, if we want a sure investment, one that guarantees great rewards no matter what, invest your entire life with the Lord in service to him. He is always faithful, and he will reward those who faithfully serve him. Investing your life with the Lord is always a sure thing. Yes, there may be some rocky roads to get there in this life, but when you get to glory, what a welcome awaits those who have been given their life to the Lord. Verse 3 goes on, and on great waters, the grain of Sihor, and Sihor is another name for Egypt here, the harvest of the river, talking about the Nile River, is her revenue. and she is a marketplace for the nations. So there was also trade going on with Egypt in these coastal seaports. Egypt would bring their grain, which is called here the grain of Sihor, and they would bring their produce from the harvest of the Nile River, and they would make a lot of money from the sale of these things. And then through these seaports, they would be a marketplace for the nations, because they could reach many markets through the city of Tyre. Verse 4 says, "Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor, nor bring forth children, nor do I rear young men, nor bring up virgins." So this is a picture of the sea speaking, you know, if that were possible here, after the news of Tyre being wiped out. So if the sea could speak, it'd be saying that there's no need for any sailors to run these merchant ships to Tyre anymore. There's no need for any children to be born to take up their father's trade of running these merchant ships to Tyre. And there's not even a need to bring up the young men who are already alive to take the place of their father's trade, because Tyre is no more. That city of tremendously great wealth has been completely brought to an end by the judgment of the Lord. And there's no longer a need for young virgins to marry and have these children born to grow up and join in their daddy's business, because there will be no business for them to work at. Now, this is the fate of the entire world for those who are not built on the solid rock of the Lord. Verse 5 goes on here. When the report reaches Egypt, they also will be in agony at the report, the bad news here, of Tyre. So news of Tyre's destruction will reach Egypt, and they too were a nation that became extremely wealthy from their merchandise being sold to the ports of Tyre. So their response at the bad news about Tyre was going to be agony for them. They just lost a valuable trading partner. So verse 6, "Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you inhabitants of the coastland." So Isaiah is telling them to weep and to turn around and go home, because there was nothing for them at Tyre, because it is no more. Now, can you imagine that you headed off to go to work one morning, and you get a call on your cell phone on the way there, and the person on the other end says, "Hey, you don't need to come in today, or ever again, as a matter of fact, because your workplace has been completely destroyed. So have a nice day." Now, that's kind of the message these people would be hearing, only without the "have a nice day" part. Instead, it would be saying, "It's all over but the weeping, guys." It's all over but that. Verse 7, the question here, is this your joyous city? They were known as a celebrating city, making a lot of noise in their celebrations. They loved their wealth. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days? I've been going on a long time. Whose feet carried her far off to dwell? So Tyre was known as this joyous city, a city that had a history that went back to the ancient times. They've always seen things happen this way, never expecting it to ever change. And a city that had such an impact on faraway lands, because they had set up ports even in faraway places where they could trade their merchandise. But they would not be this kind of a prosperous city anymore after the Lord was done with them. Verse 8, who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are the honorable of the earth? So this most important question is answered in the next verse when it says, who's taken this counsel against Tyre? Who's going against this great, powerful, wealthy place? And verse 9 tells us it's the Lord of hosts. He's the one who's come against it. He has purposed it, we're told here. But in Tyre, the merchants and the traders were the ones making a large income. And as long as they made this wealth, then it didn't matter if they were born into a royal family, because all it took was having big money for them to be treated like a prince. And it didn't matter how good a person they were either. As long as they had big money, they were treated as though they were an honorable person. You know, even today, the world still looks up to people because of their wealth and fame. You take Hollywood celebrities, for instance, our professional sports stars. People will look to them to give guidance on some important political issues or even who to vote for. But does having wealth automatically make them geniuses? Does all their money make them experts in all of these areas that they have not studied in? Should they really be trusted to give guidance and the best answers for any and all situations? Not at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of times those kinds of excessively rich people, they live in their own little world. They have no idea what it's like to live in the real world that the rest of us folks live in. But the wealthy merchants in Tyre were treated as though they were princes and very honorable men just because they had immense wealth. We understand that. Verse 9, here's that answer to the question, who's taken counsel against Tyre? It's the Lord of hosts has purposed it to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. So here the Lord names that great sin that Tyre was committing. It was their pride. The pride of all the glory they had obtained for themselves because of their great wealth. And then all the honorable who were seen as such because of their wealth, the Lord was going to bring them to open disrespect before people. That's the word contempt. That's what that means there. The Lord's going to bring their reputation down. So the Lord of hosts was going to deal with them because of their pride. As Warren Wiersbe said, the pride of Tyre was a sin that God could not ignore. And it's also been said that pride is the chief sin that demands punishment. Now, I want us to take a closer look at pride for a moment and see why this is such an offensive thing to the Lord. Because the question can be asked, what makes pride so sinful? Well, pride, in its worst situation there, is giving ourselves credit for something that God has done. That's why it's offensive to the Lord. It's taking the glory for ourselves that really belongs to God alone. We're going to look at some passages here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says in the verse there, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So the idea is that God's given you things. God's blessed you. He's the one who's given you the things that you have. You know, so what do you have that you didn't receive from him? And if you did receive it, why are you boasting about it? You know, like you did this yourself. So you think you've done all this by yourself. That's what the folks at Tyre and Sidon thought. They had all of this wealth that God had allowed them to make, but they only gave the credit to themselves for doing it. Look at Psalm 10 and verse 4. Psalm 10 and verse 4, another one talking about this pride here. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." So you think that you've done all this by yourself. You know, again, that's what these folks thought at Tyre and Sidon. So the proud person thinks about themselves so much that they have no room for God in all of their thoughts. And since that's true, pride actually hinders people from seeking the Lord. Their pride blinds them from seeing their need for the Lord. So let's consider some serious issues that have to do with pride. And we'll see more even from our passage as well. But Proverbs 16 is another passage here. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So pride brings destruction, and that's what's going to happen to Tyre. If they would have been humbled and gave the Lord the glory for their wealth, they could have survived instead of facing destruction. That's something to think about. Have you thanked the Lord for your job lately? Have you thanked Him for having the money to pay your bills? It comes from the Lord, right? All good things come from Him. Another dangerous issue that has to do with pride is that Satan's fall from his high position in heaven, it happened because of pride. And we saw that in Isaiah 14, just a few chapters back from where we are even today. Isaiah 14 in verse 12. How you were fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Notice it's all about him. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So he's doing all of this himself. It's all about him and his supposed glory here. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pits. So we do not want to follow in Satan's footsteps. So we want to be careful to avoid being prideful. And thirdly here, there's something else we saw before. Pride has kept many people from accepting Christ as their Savior. They don't think they need Jesus to get to heaven. But Jesus clearly said that no man can come to the Father unless they come through Jesus. The Bible also teaches that only the person who has Jesus will have eternal life. And as for pride itself hindering a person, Jesus taught his disciples, and he said, unless you are converted and become as little children, meaning being as humble as a child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So look what the pride of Tyre has caused in our passage so far that we're looking at back in Isaiah 23 here. Okay, in verse 1, pride had caused the ships of Tarshish to wail because of their loss of jobs and their income. In verse 2, because of their pride, the inhabitants of the coastlands were told to be still, to stop sending their ships to do trade in Tyre. So that meant that their economy was going to be devastated, all based on pride. In verse 4, because of pride, the people of Sidon were told to be ashamed because they were not thanking God for his provisions. And that is something to be ashamed of. But of course, we have to define what shame is these days, because shame is not a word that's used anymore in our culture much. No one is ashamed of anything, if you notice. People flaunt their ugly and gross sins publicly, and they don't blink an eye when they do it. My grandma used to say, shame on you, when we did something wrong as kids. Man, you could feel the shame when she said that to you. Wow, it was painful. Verse 4, because of pride, Egypt was going to be in agony. That's painful when they heard the report of Tyre being gone. And then in verse 6, because of pride, all the inhabitants of the coastland were told to wail, to weep. So this is going to cause a massive wave of sorrow in many different places due to their extreme financial losses. In Isaiah 23, verse 10, it goes on, overflow through your land like the river, the Nile River here, O daughters of Tarshish. There is no more strength. So this is kind of implying that Tarshish can find new markets to sell their goods, because Tyre isn't going to be available anymore after the Lord deals with them. So you can expand your territory, because no sense in coming here. Verse 11 there, he stretched out his hand over the sea, talking about the Lord. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against Canaan, Babylonians here, to destroy its strongholds. So this event here, it's going to show God's sovereign power. And just like Moses stretching his hand out over the Red Sea, the Lord is going to show his power once again and shake up the kingdoms who thought they were so secure and so self-sufficient, having no need for God. God can do whatever he wants in even the most powerful cities, and even he could even strike fear in the hearts of nations. Verse 12 says, "And he said, you will rejoice no more. O you oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon, arise, cross over to Cyprus. There also you will have no rest." So the Lord was going to take away their joy. He was going to take away their rest in doing things the way that they were always done. They just, you get in that groove and you keep doing, you know, things are going to keep going on. And one day the Lord stops it because of pride. You know, the Lord can bring both of those things, joy and rest, to a screeching halt. Verse 13, "Behold, the land of the Chaldeans," the Babylonians here, "this people which was not, Assyria founded it for wild beasts of the desert. They set up its towers, they raised up its palaces, and brought it to ruin." So the Lord's telling the people of Tyre here to look at the Babylonians for an example here. Before Babylon became a world power, they tried to rebel against Assyria, and that's what he's talking about here. Assyria was the world power at that time. Well, Assyria came against them so hard, and they treated them so harshly, they almost completely destroyed Babylon. The Lord was using that as an example for Tyre to look at and realize, you need to submit to the Assyrians rather than face their wrath, because it's not going to be good. Verse 14, "Wail," that's that weeping again, "you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste." So it's the warning of verse 1 again, repeated here. The lesson is that there will be no escaping the judgment of God once it has been decided. Verse 15, "Now it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king." Kind of like a king could rule for 70 years, and that's how long Tyre is going to be forgotten. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre, as in the Song of the Harlot, and we'll look at that more in a minute here. But the time was going to come where Assyria would put severe restrictions on the trade that Tyre could have, and that period was going to last for 70 years. Now, realize the Lord prophesied this would happen long before it did. And when these things did take place, that'd be evidence that the prophet was telling them the truth from the Lord. It would also show them that the Lord was faithful in doing what he said he was going to do. So verse 16, we have this. It says at the end of the 7 years, it's going to happen to Tyre, as in the song of the harlot, the prostitute here. "Take a harp, go about the city, you forgotten harlot. Make sweet melody, sing many songs." And here's the reason for that, that you may be remembered. So Tyre could be compared to a harlot because she was willing to make a deal with any nation or any people that would do business with her. And just like an older harlot might have to sing some sweet songs in order to get some attention, Tyre was going to have to work harder to get her business flowing again after being out of service for 70 years. Now we get from this, God can control so many things. It's amazing. Verse 17, "And it shall be at the end of 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth." So once her 70 years is over, when the restrictions are lifted, she's allowed to do trade again, she won't be repentant like the Jews are going to be after their 70 years in exile in Babylon. They repented of their idolatry. When they came back to the land, they've never done idolatry again since then. But you notice the Lord here uses, they're going to go back to committing fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. So she's going to go back and have that relationship business-wise with whoever will be willing to do business with her. And that's why Tyre is referred to as having fornication with any kingdom at all. Verse 18, it is going to end on a good note here. "Her gain and her pay will be set apart amazingly for the Lord. It will not be treasured nor laid up, for her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. So this is talking, I believe, about a future period of time when Jesus is going to be reigning on the earth in his kingdom. Tyre is going to still be able to have a trade business, that area apparently, but the huge difference will be that this business is going to be honoring the Lord and not hoarding all the wealth for themselves. That'll be amazing to watch in itself. You know, we see so much greed in this world now and not much thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, there are some differing views over this last part, and it's very possible there's some different meaning here. But if we're understanding this right, then we may get to see this in the future, you know, when the believers will be ruling and reigning with Christ in his kingdom here. Now, a big warning that we see from this passage, though, is that the Lord hates pride. And it can be very destructive for a people, for a city, or even a nation to hang on to their pride. It'll be much better for those who choose to humble themselves before the Lord. So we're going to stop here today, guys. Let's give people a chance to humble themselves before the Lord right now. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. That means that he died in our place as our substitute. He paid for our sins that each one of us committed. He paid for them completely, and after he was buried, the Lord raised him back to life again after 3 days. The only thing left to be done is for the person to humble themselves and to believe the truth that Jesus died for them personally. When anyone does that and asks Jesus to come in their heart and their life, the Bible says that they will be saved. So I encourage you today to resist your pride, to humble yourself before the Lord. He loves you very much. And you cannot earn salvation because it's a free gift that God offers to you. All you can do is accept it and thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word of truth today. And Lord, it hits home with the area of pride. That's a thing that we've accepted into our life because of our sin nature. And Lord, I want to have us, I repent myself, Lord, and anyone that wants to join me, Lord, we repent and say, Lord, we're sorry for not saying thank you enough for everything you've done in our life. Thank you for our families, Lord. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for the things you provide for us on a daily basis that almost go unnoticed. We thank you, Father, for family. We thank you for food and the finances you give us to pay our bills. Father, we want to pray for those who are struggling right now in our nation, those who do not have enough to live on to pay their bills, Lord. They're trying to survive. And Lord, we understand we brought judgment on this nation by our pride. So Father, I pray, help us to be humble before you. Help us to live for you, Lord. Give our lives to you completely. And for anybody who's listening now or through the week, anytime, Lord, I pray that if they don't know Jesus, please, Lord, let them know they need a Savior. You'll never make it to heaven without Jesus. Please give them the grace and help right now to accept that. Father, we thank you for the day you told us about Christ. Thank you for all you've done. We praise you and thank you, Father, so much. And we give back that praise and thanksgiving to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.